Good to be here. For those of you who don't know what we do, I was full-time at Gloria Bible Fellowship for, 15 years. And during that time, saw so many hurting people and not really knowing how to help them with stuff that really hurts. And that song that Gwen just sang, I have to say I've seen people. And I really have to say, how did you even live through that? But it's a joy to be able to take someone with deep spiritual or emotional issues that just tear them up, to be able to take them to the Lord Jesus and to get healing. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, but he also came to heal the brokenhearted. Many times we have broken hearts and we really don't know what to do with them. And so that's what we spend our time doing now. Mostly with marriages and single people as well. I would say 85% of the people that come in are married. And I do want to thank you as a body of believers for your support for us, for both financially, and I know you're praying as well. It doesn't work without that. It's still exciting after 12 years of doing this. Still exciting to see people get free. This past week, I had a couple in from Toronto. And he grew up in a Catholic home, had no concept of what it meant to be born again. And got married very young. They're married at 17. And she was a believer, but was away from God at that time, married this guy who was not a believer. And he came to a point of really coming to trust Christ this week as his own Savior. We can be a person with one birthday, and we're going to have two deaths. But if we have two birthdays and we're born again, we're only going to see death once. All things being equal, if the Lord doesn't come sooner. This morning I want to deal with one particular area where people struggle in their lives. And I want to start off by sharing another couple that came and sat down with me, and these were not believers either. But they were really troubled and they wanted help. And so before we got going with the counseling, this fella, he wanted to make something very clear to us, myself and his wife, his philosophy of life. And he said this: I do what I want to do, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. Not a good way to start off a counseling session. I do what I want to do, and nobody is going to tell me what to do. And as we counseled and we talked about a few things, every once in a while, I would start to get close to his heart a little bit, and he would remind me, just don't forget my philosophy. I do what I want to do, and no one is going to tell me what to do. That man had a problem with rebellion. And so at some point in his life, he learned to defy and wouldn't let anybody get close to his heart or tell him what to do. And nothing is going to happen too much in that man's life until he resolves that issue. It affects everything. He's gone on to his reward, whatever that would be at this time. But I want to give a definition, first of all, of what rebellion is. Rebellion is to defy lawful authority, to be insubordinate, open resistance to authority, just to refuse to obey. Let's look at the whole origin of rebellion and authority. First of all, authority, if you can't have rebellion, if you don't have authority. And we have to go right back to the Godhead, and that's where authority originates. And we have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit make up one God. But even in the Godhead, there is an authority structure. They submit. They have an authority structure there from eternity past. Authority is not a dirty word. I use this diagram here a lot for teaching. History is divided up into three 2,000-year periods. And we have the flood and Abraham and Mount Sinai right in the middle of history, where God gave the Ten Commandments. And God created angels. And one of those angels that was created was named Lucifer. We only know three angels by name. There's Gabriel, Lucifer, and Michael. Well, some say four. Some use Hark, the herald angel, but we won't go there. This is where rebellion originated, with Lucifer. And we read this in Isaiah 14. Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Lucifer was the wisest angel God created and the most beautiful. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Satan decided, I don't want to be under God's authority anymore. And so he didn't. And that's the first rebellion. And of course, Lucifer was, his name was changed to Satan, and he is relegated to the lake of fire because of his rebellion against God. And of course, he was angry at God, tempted Adam and Eve to follow him. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today, with all the fallen world that we live in. But in all of this, God has established structures of authority. And we just talked about God himself having authority within himself. And John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the Spirit submits to the Father. And we have the Son submitting to the Father. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Right from the beginning, there was authority structure. Then we have angels. And for the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. There are angels who are more powerful and lead other angels. And that's brought out in Daniel as well. When Daniel went to fast and pray for 21 days, God immediately sent an angel to answer that prayer, but he was intercepted by the prince of Persia, a very powerful demon. And as Daniel prayed for 21 days for that answer to come through, finally God says, okay, Michael, go deal with it. And God used Michael to get that answer through to Daniel. So they have a structure of authority. Then we have the family as well. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now we have children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We have the workplace. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. We have government. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, the good and the bad. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And then we have the church. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Can you imagine what life would be like if we didn't have authority structures? As we drove to church this morning, imagine if we all decided, okay, I'll just drive on any side of the road I want. We have laws there to protect us. Can you imagine playing a hockey game? Eric played hockey last night. And just abolish the rules. Just pick up the puck. I'll pick up the puck if I want, and I'll throw it in the net. Maybe the Leafs should do that and help them out a little bit. But it wouldn't make the sport work very well. We all have to have authority, and we operate under authority. But wherever you have authority, you have rebellion. What are the things that causes rebellion? There are a few things that cause rebellion. First of all, we have our sin nature. We don't need the devil and we don't need the world to rebel. We can do quite well with what's in our own hearts because of our fallen nature. And that's a real problem. When you have children, one of the first words children learn is, no, I just don't want to do that. It's just right comes out of our own heart. It comes out of our own heart in defiance. I remember, let's go on. We'll leave that one. The second thing is a wounded heart. A wounded heart is a great source of rebellion. My dad's gone on to be with the Lord now. And we, as children, sometimes resisted my dad's authority. And I remember my sister once had a real trouble with my dad for a long time during the teen life. And she rebelled pretty good against him. And in that period of time, she was off to university and she got going with this fellow, this supposedly Christian guy. And they got engaged. And everybody, including myself, was trying to get through to my sister, what are you doing? I mean, this is not a guy you should be marrying. He claims to be a Christian, but doesn't look very good to us. And it didn't matter. When you're in rebellion, you lose common sense. And finally, my sister got a little bit scared because virtually everybody was telling her the same thing. And she decided, for once in my life, I'm going to submit to my dad. I'm going to go to my dad and just, okay, this is a major decision I have to make. Dad, she did. She went to him and says, Dad, I have resisted your authority most of my life. But I'm making a major decision here, and I'm a little confused. Everybody is on my case about this. Dad, would you spend a day with my fiance? And if you spend a day, and I want you to find out what he's all about, and if you tell me at the end of that I shouldn't marry him, I will submit to that. Well, my dad rose to the occasion, and he spent some time with him, just a few hours, and came back and said, June, if you marry him, you will rue this the rest of your life. And so she broke it off that day. Her simple act of submitting saved her life, and she's, of course, happily married now. But a wounded heart. They had a lot of trouble, and my dad did wound her heart, and they got that mended. But that can cause rebellion. I think personal illustrations are, it's like a picture's worth a thousand words. I'm going to share with you my own struggle with defiance and how the enemy can even get involved in that. When I was in my training at Colorado to help people this way with emotional and spiritual issues, I watched my tutor work with a couple, and this guy had been terribly abused by his mom growing up, physically and emotionally. And he remembered being about 12 years old, and he had had enough of this. And while his mother is going after him one time, he reached out, he grabbed her arm, he looked her in the eye, and he said, I will never let you do this to me again. And he didn't from that point on because he defied her. And every time she'd do anything to him or try to, he'd just kick into defiance and he'd win. Because defiance always wins. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It just wins. And any time from that point on in his life, anybody who got close to the pain in his heart where his mother caused, he would just defy. And as I watched this, it rang a bell with me. the same sister, and she's given me freedom to share this, that my sister's 2 years older, June, and she was pretty much full grown by the time she was in grade 7 or 8, and she was an athlete. She was 5'10", and she could throw a ball harder than most guys could, and she beat the tar out of me all the time. But I remember one time, we're both at home at night, and she's the oldest one, so she's babysitting. And I just was minding my own business. I always did that. And so I went to the fridge to get something to eat. And she just came along and says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Get something to eat." "No, you're not." So she did her usual thing. Well, for some reason, I'd had enough. I turned to her and I started screaming at her. I started swinging at her. Never done this before. But I saw fear in her eyes. So I went for it all the more. And I defied her. And from that point on, every time she tried something, I'd just kick into defiance and I'd win. Defiance always wins. Very destructive. Let me explain what can happen in the heart when something like that takes place, and how the enemy of our soul can get involved in that. The enemy is a capitalist. He likes to capitalize on abuse and people getting hurt. And here's a kid being abused. An enemy comes along, a spirit, a demon, whatever term you want to put on it. And you normally don't hear words. I'll put words to it. So he communicates, "It's not right what she's doing. I can help you with that. All you have to do is defy. I'll help you defy." And if we buy into the defiance, and there's an enemy pushing that, a spirit, he'll attach. And we can give ground to an enemy. I'm not saying that a spirit possesses us, because if we're believers, we're possessed by the Spirit of God, period. But the Scripture says we can give ground to a spirit, an enemy. And from that point on in my life, I defied. Well, halfway through our training, some of you have heard me share this before, my wife and I had to get some things resolved ourselves, and that was one of the best things that happened. As we went through the process of learning how to help other people with real heart issues, and we're going in to sit with John, my mentor, and we said, "We got some stuff that we got to work through. We can't even do it ourselves." And the night before we were going in to see him, we're back at the hotel and we're working on an issue, and we started locking harder and harder against each other. I mean, she just wasn't getting it, you know what I mean? I was the one that wasn't getting it. And finally, my wife said some unspeakable words. She said, "Well, John said," and as soon as she said, "John said," that was it. I don't care what John says. Who is John? And I can't say I'm proud of that. I'm just telling you what happened. That defiance was still there. And she hit that spot my sister caused in me. So the next day we're sitting with John, and he's leading me in prayer, helping him resolve some of this stuff. And he had me ask the Lord Jesus, "Jesus, is there a defiant spirit here?" As soon as I asked the question, I knew there was. It was a simple thing. "Jesus, would you take that defiant spirit to your throne? I don't need him anymore." And then I could see the damage I had done to my wife through defiance. And whenever my kids, my children as they grew up, would sometimes hit the same spot, and I would rebel against my kids. You can see we had a lot of fixing to do. But a wounded heart. My sister wounded my heart, and that caused me to rebel. And this isn't about blaming other people for your stuff. This is about really being honest about how things happen and then to be able to clean it up. So a wounded heart can cause rebellion. Improper discipline of our children. Whenever we discipline in anger, that can cause a child to rebel against us. Truth without love. This is a very common one that I help people deal with all the time. Sometimes we grow up in families where the Word of God is honored and taught, but there's no heart connection with our children. And the truth becomes very hard. Truth without love damages. Whenever we speak the truth, we want to speak it in love. I had a gal come in with her fiancé. They were in their mid-50s. He had lost his wife to cancer. And she grew up in one of these very spiritually abusive homes. They come to church on Sunday. They were all there, six children, and they'd be all decked out, looked like the perfect family. But at home, the father would have an hour and a half devotions at supper time, and if you dare move, you'd get beat. This gal would watch his father beat his wife into submission because he was the head of the house. Truth with no love. It's not that what they're being taught is wrong stuff, but if we don't add love to it, whatever we do, let love be your guide. And it's very hard. And so every one of those six children rebelled, want today nothing to do with God 30 years later. Except this one gal. And she rebelled her whole life, and in her mid-50s, she got her heart right with God again. And made a lot of things right. Now she wants to get married to this fella. And she knew so many verses, she knew so many concepts about God, was a believer. But when I led her in prayer to deal with all that abuse that happened, and I tried to get her heart connected with the Lord Jesus, because he's the only one that can help them, she froze. She knew in her head God was a good God, he's a good shepherd, the Lord Jesus is kind. But as she grew up as a girl, because she got so much hammered with truth with no love, in her heart, not in her mind, in her heart, God was a monster. Jesus was a monster. And couldn't trust him. Because we as parents represent God to our children. And if we're spiritual leaders and we have no heart for our children, they're going to get a hard, hard view of God. And that can make children rebel. And so in prayer, we had to separate out. And the Lord Jesus had to show her who he really was and who her father was. And by the way, she still loved her father and she nursed him till he died. Got connected with her father again, even though he never did own what he did. But she could forgive him for that. But truth with no love can be very damaging and can cause rebellion. It can be a generational problem. You know, you can look at your family tree, every one of us, and we're going to have certain traits that are there. And that's how we're going to struggle. And sometimes defiance and rebellion is part of your generational problem. And it can be a stronghold. Then there's cultural influence, where it's all about me. Everything revolves around me, and we defy somebody who gets in the way of that. So those are some of the causes of rebellion. Well, there's always consequences. A phrase I heard from Claude Martin once, you can choose your choices. You're never free to choose your consequences. And when we choose to rebel, there's consequences. First of all, a person will obviously reject correction. Proverbs 1:24, I have called you and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. You disdained all my counsel, and you would have none of my rebuke. We'll just reject correction. And then it destroys God's reputation. Let us, many bondservants, as are under the yoke, count their masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. A person will experience guilt. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Even though we reject God, we're going to still feel guilty about rebelling because we know innately it's just wrong. a person will experience calamity. Just one verse out of that group there. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. A person will lack fulfillment. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious live in a dry land. They live in a dry land. He's talking here about his own people. A person opened themselves to Satan's attack, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. There just seems to be things that go along with rebellion. When a person rebels, when a young person rebels, almost always on the heel of that, they get involved in immorality. It's just, we just get open to the enemy's attack. God will exert pressure to break that rebellion. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so he turned himself against them as an enemy, his own people, and he fought against them. Then a person will experience fear. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm. And finally, it leads to idolatry. But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. Therefore, I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. We don't have to stay in rebellion. Sometimes rebellion can come and go in our own lives. But if we don't resolve the stuff that happened way back there, the problem will continue to repeat itself. So how do we deal with rebellion? Well, first of all, it's good to identify the cause. And it's not about blaming. Not about blaming somebody for where you're at. And if I got a rebellion problem, I can't blame that on somebody, but I need to recognize where it comes from. Is it my flesh? Is it my sin nature? Did I get hurt? Is there rebellion in my family line? If someone that we're caring for rebels, sometimes we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, am I part of that cause? And whenever my kids resisted, every time, I don't know, maybe not every time, but so many times, I had a problem here that I had to deal with that would cause that. So identify the cause. If someone has caused you damage, extend forgiveness and take that pain to Jesus. I was talking to somebody yesterday, spoke at a breakfast in a church in Aylmer, and somebody asked about their son who wanted to get counseling. He wanted to go into counseling and help people this way, and they're asking me the differences and so on, of different things you can do. There's all kinds of models out there of counseling. And I explained to her that if you don't ultimately take someone to the Lord Jesus and get that pain, because pain that happens through abuse, whether it's sexual abuse or spiritual abuse, that's not something you can talk out of people. And so much of counseling today is talking about the problem. And talking about the problem doesn't solve it. You can understand it, doesn't resolve it. And the difference in this kind of counseling is I realize I can't really help anybody. But I can take them to the one who can. And when somebody gets damaged in their heart, and they learn how to forgive and what forgiveness is all about, and they take that pain to Jesus. And this is something we just don't talk about in church. Jesus talked about it. I came to preach the gospel to the poor, but I came to heal the brokenhearted as well, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. abuse is oppressive. And there's only one person that can deal with that. And we've got to take that pain to the Lord Jesus. This gal I had in this week was so hurt. Her mom left her when she was 1.5. She didn't ask for that. That creates a deep wound in a person's heart. She got into a foster home. They cared for her, gave her so many good things, but either one of those parents could not connect with her heart. So here's this girl all alone, in effect abandoned emotionally by the parents that raised her, abandoned by her. And she was so fearful to go to that hurt to resolve that, because they start to feel it again. And she spent her whole life covering it. She tried drugs. She tried immorality. Nothing, of course, works. But she sat there and she says, I don't really want to go there. Everything's fine the way it is. I've learned to handle that. Well, finally, she decided, you know, okay, let's go there and let Jesus take that pain. And it was very hard for her to go there. A lot of tears. But as she walked through that, Jesus gave her peace with that, because she forgave those people and she asked Jesus to give her peace. And the next day, I went back to the same place in her heart where that hurt was. And the pain was gone. And I want her husband to see that. And she was so glad she did. She'll never have to cover that up anymore. Never have to do something to compensate for all that hurt inside, because she allowed Jesus to heal that. Repent of the rebellion. One of the things Jesus said when it comes to spiritual issues, and rebellion is a spiritual issue, repent. And I had to do that as well. Allow the Spirit of God to control every area of your life. And what happens when we do that? Well, God's blessing will rest on you. The greatest asset we have is God's blessing. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. And someone read in the first service about Jesus being our great example of that. Humbled Himself to the point of death. And that's what we need to do. Get rid of defiance. And then, of course, we're going to have peace. Whatever else we don't have, if we don't have peace, we don't have very much. So, we have to look at our own hearts first. Where have I, or have I still got some rebellion inside? Just ask the Lord to show you. He's faithful to do that. We're going to close here with a song. So if you want to come up now, Gwen, I think my pick is there. And this song talks about eternity. And as I go on in life and I realize how fast time is going, we're going up here. Okay. All right. Just do what I'm told. Why don't I turn my mic off and we'll use this mic here? Okay. I'm realizing how fast time is going. I mean, it seemed like yesterday we just started this job. Remember that? What year was that? 1978? So we're talking over 30 years ago. It happens so fast. And one of the things that God has really impressed upon me these last number of years is we're only here a short time. I remember some of you guys. You had black hair back then, Mervyn. But so did I. Life goes so fast. We're soon going to be standing before the Lord Jesus. And we're going to come to the end of our journey. and we're going to get our reward. And that's one area where I don't think we get enough teaching on, is what rewards are coming. Even dealing with rebellion in our hearts, there's going to be reward for that. And Jesus loves to give us rewards. In fact, in Revelation, when he said, I'm coming back quickly, and what does he say? My reward is with me. That's not salvation. That's rewarding us for what we've done. And we got lots to look forward to.
Soon I'll come to the end of my journey, and I'll meet the one who gave his life for me. I will thank him for the love that he gave me, and 10,000 years or more I'll reign with him. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years we just begun. The battle's over and the victory's been won. 10,000 years and we've just begun.
We will just begin to sing love's sweet story. It's a song that the angels cannot sing. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Savior, and 10,000 years or more I'll praise his name.
10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years we've just begun. The battle's over and the victory's been won. 10,000 years and we've just begun. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years we've just begun. The battle's over and the victory's been won. 10,000 years and we've just
Our Father, we do thank you for the hope that you give, that one day we will see you face to face. But we're still here, Father, and you've got things for us to do, and you've got a purpose for us being here. Lord, would you guide each one of us? If there's any resistance in our heart that you want to deal with, would you bring that to our attention? We want to walk with you, and we want to come to the judgment seat with boldness. So I ask you to guide each one of us, and I ask your blessing on each one here. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.